Welcome, welcome, everybody who's online. Happy Mother's Day. We are so thrilled to have you joining us here on this beautiful day. And to all the mothers in the house or at home, I want to invite you to stand as you are able. If you're not able, you can raise a hand and let us bless you. And that means you self-identify as a mother, however you do that. We want to be inclusive always. Look at all the moms. You can stand, my own mother. All right, let's bless the moms. Let's bless them. Mothers, we love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we behold the divine mother in you. Thank you for all of you. Yes. Oh man, where would we be without motherly love? You know? We wouldn't be here, exactly. We can at least thank our mothers for our very existence, right? If not, for all the other things that they have offered us. And when I say mothers, I mean that in the broadest sense. You know, for some of us, maybe we didn't have a mother growing up or present in our lives in some way, but we certainly have had mother energy in our lives. Welcome, welcome, everybody who's online. Happy Mother's Day. We are so thrilled to have you joining us here on this beautiful day. And to all the mothers in the house or at home, I want to invite you to stand as you are able. If you're not able, you can raise a hand and let us bless you. And that means you self-identify as a mother, however you do that. We want to be inclusive always. Look at all the moms. You can stand, my own mother. All right, let's bless the moms. Let's bless them. Mothers, we love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we behold the divine mother in you. Thank you for all of you. Yes. Oh man, where would we be without motherly love? You know? We wouldn't be here, exactly. We can at least thank our mothers for our very existence, right? If not, for all the other things that they have offered us. And when I say mothers, I mean that in the broadest sense. You know, for some of us, maybe we didn't have a mother growing up or present in our lives in some way, but we certainly have had mother energy in our lives, right? We certainly have had people, like the reading was saying so beautifully, and Don, I so appreciated your heart in that, of the love that is there for us, the encouragement that is there for us, that the mother is teacher and guide and reassurer and all those beautiful gifts that we receive. I am so grateful to have my own mother with me here on Mother's Day. Very special to have her with us in this community today. In Unity, our teachings on the divine are basically twofold. One is the allness of God, right? That first principle that is about the permeating presence of the one true God in the universe. And today we see her especially as goddess, as divine mother, that energy that is everywhere present, available to us at any time to experience, to connect with, to draw forth from. And so there is that sense of the allness of the one, the allness of the divine, and then there is also that eachness of the divine, right? The divine that manifests within each one of us, that is present in each one of us, and that is expressed in the world, ideally, through each one of us. The divine mother shows up in both places. She is that allness of God goddess, and she is that eachness also of the divine in us. She's the great mother, the creator, the sustainer of life. And she's also Mother Nature, Mother Earth. So all around us physically as well, supporting us. And, you know, she's also that sense of eachness in us as the divine feminine qualities. Regardless of our gender expression, we all have these divine feminine qualities. And as we begin to name some of them, nurturing, comfort, reassurance, encouragement, love, unconditional love, doesn't our world need those things? Yeah, so it is a call forth to both be mothered and to mother, to share these gifts as well as to receive them. So the essence of these gifts lie within the many manifestations and expressions of the one Divine Mother. So right now, when we think about the world, the war that's going on, the violence that is around us, when we notice that women's mothering rights and unborn babies' rights to be born are in wild, intense debate right now, and all that stirring about that happens around us, we can know that there is this allness, this presence, this soft and tender, loving power that we can call upon. And when we do, we know the truth. It's that sense of peace, be still, and know that I am. It's that feeling that all, as the mystic Julian of Norwich said about 700 years ago, all shall be well, all manner of things shall be well. And so, and she was lived during the midst of the plagues, so she knew, right? She had that knowing, that sense that there is this bigger presence. It's part of us, but it's beyond us, that we can call in, that we can use for ourselves, for our sense of whatever it is that we need, so that we can feel more centered, so that we can feel more nurtured, so that we can be better able then to share whatever it is that we need to share with the world. In the ancient church in Constantinople, St. Andrew had a vision, and he expresses his vision this way. He says that the Holy Mother appeared before the whole congregation. He said she was very, very tall, and at first she appeared in the royal doorway, flanked by divine escorts. But as she came in to the whole sanctuary and the space, she knelt down, and she prayed for a very long time. And they were all kind of enraptured watching this. Then she stood up and she walked around the sanctuary and prayed with people as she felt guided to do so. Can almost feel this experience right here. You know, that sense of this presence that is available to us can be called forth even from this long ago vision of St. Andrew that happened in his own congregation in this space. And he said then after she did that, she took off her veil very presently, very reverently. And the veil was enormous. It became more enormous as she fanned it out and spread it over the congregation. And it hovered there, radiating divine light upon all the people. He said it was grand and awe-inspiring, and that they could feel and see the veil through the whole experience as long as they could see her. But as she began to fade, they couldn't see the veil anymore, but they could feel it, that sense in their intuition, locked into the memories of their selves. How many of us have had profound spiritual experiences at different times, whether it was a dream or a vision or an experience in a meditation, and whatever that experience was, that it is there, it's still there, right? Maybe latent, but it was drank in into the cells of our being. That memory is still there. Those experiences are still there, still available to us, just as that presence is always available to us. And so it's through the memories of the Divine Mother that we live and breathe it once again, that we are assured of this veil of protection that we walk beneath, this radiating light that is always available to us, that earthy knowing in the soles of our feet that Mother Earth loves us so much, she's given us gravity to keep us close, right? So every step is like a sense of loving embrace there in the soles of our feet. Or when we lie down in the earth or sit on the earth, we have that same kind of experience. So in Hebrews' lives, right, we certainly have had people, like the reading was saying so beautifully, and Don, I so appreciated your heart in that, of the love that is there for us, the encouragement that is there for us, that the mother is teacher and guide and reassurer and all those beautiful gifts that we receive. I am so grateful to have my own mother with me here on Mother's Day. Very special to have her with us in this community today. In Unity, our teachings on the divine are basically twofold. One is the allness of God, right? That first principle that is about the permeating presence of the one true God in the universe. And today we see her especially as goddess, as divine mother, that energy that is everywhere present, available to us at any time to experience, to connect with, to draw forth from. And so there is that sense of the allness of the one, the allness of the divine, and then there is also that eachness of the divine, right? The divine that manifests within each one of us, that is present in each one of us, and that is expressed in the world, ideally, through each one of us. The divine mother shows up in both places. She is that allness of God goddess, and she is that eachness also of the divine in us. She's the great mother, the creator, the sustainer of life. And she's also Mother Nature, Mother Earth. So all around us physically as well, supporting us. And, you know, she's also that sense of eachness in us as the divine feminine qualities. Regardless of our gender expression, we all have these divine feminine qualities. And as we begin to name some of them, nurturing, comfort, reassurance, encouragement, love, unconditional love, doesn't our world need those things? Yeah, so it is a call forth to both be mothered and to mother, to share these gifts as well as to receive them. So the essence of these gifts lie within the many manifestations and expressions of the one Divine Mother. So right now, when we think about the world, the war that's going on, the violence that is around us, when we notice that women's mothering rights and unborn babies' rights to be born are in wild, intense debate right now, and all that stirring about that happens around us, we can know that there is this allness, this presence, this soft and tender loving power that we can call upon. And when we do, we know the truth. It's that sense of peace, be still, and know that I am. It's that feeling that all, as the mystic Julian of Norwich said about 700 years ago, all shall be well, all manner of things shall be well. And so, and she lived during the midst of the plagues, so she knew, right? She had that knowing, that sense that there is this bigger presence. It's part of us, but it's beyond us, that we can call in, that we can use for ourselves, for our sense of whatever it is that we need, so that we can feel more centered, so that we can feel more nurtured, so that we can be better able then to share whatever it is that we need to share with the world. In the ancient church in Constantinople, St. Andrew had a vision, and he expresses his vision this way. He says that the Holy Mother appeared before the whole congregation. He said she was very, very tall, and at first she appeared in the royal doorway, flanked by divine escorts. But as she came in to the whole sanctuary and the space, she knelt down, and she prayed for a very long time. And they were all kind of enraptured watching this. Then she stood up and she walked around the sanctuary and prayed with people as she felt guided to do so. Can almost feel this experience right here. You know, that sense of this presence that is available to us can be called forth even from this long ago vision of St. Andrew that happened in his own congregation in this space. And he said then after she did that, she took off her veil very presently, very reverently. And the veil was enormous. It became more enormous as she fanned it out and spread it over the congregation. And it hovered there, radiating divine light upon all the people. He said it was grand and awe-inspiring, and that they could feel and see the veil through the whole experience, as long as they could see her, but as she began to fade, they couldn't see the veil anymore, but they could feel it, that sense in their intuition, locked into the memories of their selves. How many of us have had profound spiritual experiences at different times, whether it was a dream or a vision or an experience in a meditation, and whatever that experience was, that it is there, it's still there, right? Maybe latent, but it was drank in into the cells of our being. That memory is still there. Those experiences are still there, still available to us, just as that presence is always available to us. And so it's through the memories of the Divine Mother that we live and breathe it once again, that we are assured of this veil of protection that we walk beneath, this radiating light that is always available to us, that earthy knowing in the soles of our feet that Mother Earth loves us so much, she's given us gravity to keep us close, right? So every step is like a sense of loving embrace there in the soles of our feet. Or when we lie down in the earth or sit on the earth, we have that same kind of experience. So in Hebrews 6:19, it says, we have this hope, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters the inner shrine behind the veil. It's that hope that lives in us all the time, right? And it gets stirred in us when we go, when we retreat into that inner sanctuary, when we retreat into that inner shrine behind the veil. And it is within that, underneath that veil of radiating light and love that is always here for us, that we remember who we are as well. That second part of the divine, that truth that we too hold these qualities, that these qualities are stirring inside of us to be given out into the world as well. When we retreat behind that veil, we take refuge from the pain of the world. We take refuge from our own false thinking, our own memories that or thoughts that maybe take us off course from where we want to be in this pool of divine love, in this place that we can choose to be in at all times. In that comfort and peace, that time that we take to retreat in that inner shrine, we refill, right? We re-anchor our souls to earth itself. In the New Testament, in the Apocrypha, so not in the canonized Bible, but in the Apocrypha, there we get more details about Mother Mary and her life. She was raised in the temple from about the age of 3, it says, and that she was steeped kind of in this spiritual life then, because she was ministered to by the angels, they say. When she was a young girl, the priest announced that it was time for a new veil for the temple to be made. And so lots were cast for who would get what colors of silk to weave into this grand veil that would be placed in the temple once again. Mary's colors were scarlet, red, and purple. And so she was working with these two colors, scarlet, red, and purple, weaving her part in the veil. That's when the angel Gabriel came to her to tell her that she would become Mother Mary, to tell her about the miraculous birth that she was to be, that she was to usher into the world. She couldn't have known then who she really was. She couldn't have known fully what divine potential she would reach. She couldn't have possibly imagined the profound impact she would have on for thousands of years on the masses, and still, that the comfort that she would bring, the love that she would bring, the reassurance, the power, the sense of knowing that all is well and all shall be well, all manner of things shall be well. Feeling the truth of that, you know? So we can walk with that truth. We can breathe in that truth. And we can know it sometimes so deeply, right? That's what touches me right now. It's the knowing of it. We can say a bunch of words that sound nice. Sometimes that's where we go, right? We're skimming the surface of life. But then some truth just sort of drops in and connects in the heart. And then that's when we embody it. That's when it really gets good. That's when it turns on inside of us and becomes us. And then we can embody it, those truths, those knowings. So there Mary was, not knowing all that she could become. And what was she doing? She was weaving these two colors whose significance was so powerful. Scarlet red, symbolizing blood and flesh and physicality and birth, humanness, and purple, symbolizing the divine. And there she was, weaving her own essential aspects of divinity and humanity as she began to receive guidance on what was to come and what was to be expressed through her, her own divine potential realized. This is the way for us. This is the way for us to weave together in a seamless whole our humanity and our divinity, our physicality and our spirituality, the soul of us and the soil of earth. For so long, the church has misled us into thinking the body and the physicality and the flesh is something less than. But it is in the work of the feminine, right? It is in the daily work that we can imbue into our lives. Whatever it is that we're doing, the ritual of the sacred, not just the mundane, as we're cooking, as we're cleaning the kitchen, as we're sewing, as we're weaving, as we're speaking, as we're talking, as we're moving about the world, even while we're on our computers, right? These very mundane things can be woven with the sacred because we have the consciousness that knows I am making, co-creating something of use in the world. I am bringing forth divine qualities that the world is starving for. And so it's that love that moves through us, that is expressed through us as we bring a sense of consciousness of that mother energy, that divine feminine energy. You know, for a long time, humans worshipped goddesses and God was mother until the Bronze Age when we made weapons. And then God became father. But it's not that we don't want both energies and all energies, and it's not that God really even has a gender, right? But it is the spectrum of allowing and bringing forth that which has been buried, that which has been hidden, that which has been treated irreverently, which is these feminine qualities, back into balance so that we can be whole once again. And it starts with the weave of our divinity and our humanity and bringing the humanity back in to say, this too is sacred. This body temple is also sacred because it is the earth, and I treat both with reverence and kindness and a light touch because we need the love, because we need the healing, because we are called to restore wholeness and to restore wholeness within ourselves. That's the message of the mother that is here for us today. Bring it back. Bring my daughters back. Bring the feminine energy back to the males and females and to all non-binary folks and all expressions so that we may be in that balance once again and restore balance upon the earth amongst all living beings. That's the walk of the mother. That's the call of the mother. And if you feel it beating in your heart today, she's longing to come out and to play and to express and to hold you, to nurture you, to embrace you, to rock you into the kind of care and kindness that you need to give yourself and your own heart and body and mind. And then to strengthen you so you can go out into the world to do whatever is yours to do, to imbue and embody these characteristics. to be in the world, but not of it. That's what Jesus said. And so it is to be fully in the world, but not completely of it, because we are weaving in the divinity that we are in truth. And once we are birthed into the world, where's the quintessential place that we go immediately? The mother's lap, right? That's the place where the nurturing happens. That's the place where the strengthening happens. That's the place where the love happens, where we are nurtured both physically and spiritually, emotionally, every aspect of being, psychologically. So much happens there, right? In that embrace, in that place, in that grand lap of the mother. And our need for this mother's loving embrace does not stop when we are babies. It does not stop when we are small children. We all need it, right? That's where we see the imbalances of the world, where we've just gone off our rocker, so to speak, right? It's those places where we need to get back in, literally, into the rocker, right? And be held again, be beheld again, be loved and admired and nurtured. And it's not that we need it outside of ourselves. We can find it right inside of ourselves through our spiritual practices, through our own meditations, through our time out on Mother Earth, through our time with the beloved people in our lives and their embrace. All of these things restore and nurture and give back to us. So we can create this experience, much like our meditation today, where we go into these places where we feel that kind of nurturing once again, where our hearts open and our bodies relax, and we give over and let ourselves be mothered and nurtured and loved. Or we can find places in nature. If you've ever sat on a rock in the ocean and felt the rhythmic waves coming near, and you can feel that sense of I'm being embraced, or maybe you found a little cave in the shade on a sunny day, or laid on the earth, you know, some kind of hill of the earth, like the breast of the Mother Earth, you know, and just leaning against that and feeling the support of that. All these ways that we can allow ourselves, if only, right? If only we give ourselves that gift. A lot of times we get in that, so like, I'm so busy, or I've got to do so many things. And, you know, anybody get there? Anybody like more Martha than Mary? And we find ourselves in that kind of space, right? We can just go, oh, wait. Let me just pause here for a minute. Let me just like take a moment and take my little boat out on the river and just be rocked for a few moments. Let myself lay in this. I have one of those papasan chairs, and I can lay, you know, kind of lean into it and be cradled in it and look at the garden, and it's like, oh, all is well in the world. You know, it's those spaces and those places. Where's your power spot? That's what I always ask people when I do a house blessing. Everybody always knows. Where's the power spot in your home? And even if they don't speak spiritual lingo, people will know immediately, oh, I know where that is. It's this chair. It's this place in the altar. It's this place in my backyard. It's you know, the place you feel centered and gravitated toward, you know, that place that makes you feel at home, literally, relaxed, nurtured. That's your spot. So imagine even, or just going to that place with that kind of conscious reverence. Maybe it's a park bench in a garden, whatever it is, finding those places so that we can have that experience. It's not hard to find Mother God because she's everywhere, right? So it's not like, oh, I can't find it. It's like, no, that doesn't fly because she's everywhere. So you just need to choose, carve out your space and experience and allow. Maybe it's sinking into a hot bath or wrapping yourself in a swaddling blanket. You know, sometimes those kinds of experiences can really be nurturing, just like becoming a child again. Psalm 131 says, "The soul at rest in God is like a child in its mother's arms." So we are far more earthly good if we take a little time for a heavenly embrace now and then. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Motherly laps are not just for nurturance, though. They also are empowering. Did you know that the Egyptian pharaohs, when they sat upon a throne, although they might have looked like, you know, they were the picture of masculine strength, The truth was that what they all knew was when they sat upon the throne, they were sitting upon the throne of Isis. And they were gathering up the energy and the gifts of Isis. So upon that throne, they would draw forth the wisdom of Isis. They would be nurtured by Isis. They would be loved by Isis. They would be encouraged by her. So that when they got up off the throne to go out into the kingdom to do what was theirs to do, they had that centering and that knowing. So for each of us, we find our throne. We find our power spot. And that is where we are fed. If you don't relate to Isis as much, you know, all those icons of Mother Mary and Jesus, what predated it were icons of Isis and her son Horus. So that same Madonna energy, that same goddess energy is in us, is in our ancestry, is in the DNA ethers of the world, right? And we can call upon it at any time. We are children of these mother goddesses, and we can make our places a ritualistic place to be infilled and empowered and encouraged, as well as nurtured and loved. Some of us might be fed by imagery of the Divine Mother. I know I am. We have in our garden a big Kuan Yin and a Mother Mary, and have some around the house. And sometimes when I'm going through a really intense period in my life, like a very difficult, whether it be a conflict or a passage in life, I've put Kali on my altar, which is a very fierce image of a goddess, but it helps me be reminded that these qualities are reflected in me and I can call them up as well. So whatever those images are for you, here's a couple of Kuan Yin and Mary and Kali. Whatever they are for you that feed you, I mean, there's an endless supply of goddess images out there that represent all these different faces of the Divine Mother. And so sometimes we might need the fierceness, the toughness, the wildness, and sometimes we might need the softness, the Madonna kind of energy, the compassion, the strength, the empowerment, the wisdom. Whatever it is we need, it's available to us with some simple practices. Maybe it's imagery that works for you, maybe not. Maybe it's more these nature kinds of experiences, or just a place in your home where you close your eyes and you go within, and you drop down into an experience that nurtures you or that enlivens you in some way. So once we found that for ourselves, once we found these refuges and these rituals that feed us and nurture us and fill us back up, then we're ready, right, to go out and be that mother presence in the world. So the key is to keep the practice up, to keep the well full and overflowing, so that we can keep on having the experience then of serving and embodying the Divine Mother in the world. My friend Margaret was driving one day on a country road, and she witnessed something very troubling. A mother possum was coming across the road with her baby, and the mother was hit and killed while the baby scurried safely across the road. Now, Margaret was moving on the road, so she had gone just a little ways past when her heart started breaking. Oh, this poor little baby, this motherless child, will not be able to fend for itself. And so she's like, all right. All right, spirit. You ever have this moment? And turn around and go back, you know. And so she went back and she found a little baby possum at a tree nearby the road with its tail wrapped around the tree, just kind of clinging to the tree, probably not knowing what to do. But Margaret knew what to do. And she took that little possum home. And she nurtured him back to health until he was strong enough to be released on his own. And she later recounted, although I imagine for the possum itself, she must have seemed like the Divine Mother, right? Yeah. This huge and powerful being, right? Providing nurturance and a soft place and food and water and whatever baby possums need. I guess the same as all of us, right? And so whatever that is that she supplied. Afterwards, she said, you know, I was so hesitant at first. My life was busy. I didn't know I could really take this on. I'm going to have to figure out how do you care for a baby possum? You know, it's not really like something that comes in the handbook of humanity, right? And And she said, but then once I did it, she said, it was so fulfilling. It enriched my life in ways I couldn't have imagined. And it fulfilled a longing that I had within myself that I didn't realize, a longing to mother. You know, so it's a natural impulse in all of us to mother, to give this kind of gift of mothering, of feminine quality to the world. It's a natural impulse, and sometimes it's even a longing. Anybody relate to that? Do you ever just have that longing? Like, I want to give, I want to nurture, I want to be of service in the soft and loving way that I see that the world needs and its hard edges. And so it's that call, it's that ability that beckons us to step up and to step in, to step forth. And you don't even have to like go around looking for something, right? It just comes in our path, like in Margaret's path. Experiences come. There are people, you could look around anywhere you go. You know, I like to make up little stories in my head sometimes, you know, like wonder about people, especially people who are being really angry. I think, oh man, you know, they must have something really terrible going on in their lives right now. And they could probably use a mother's embrace, right? When I get brave enough, I'm going to start just walking around like Amma and giving hugs. But but it's that, you know, the kindness we can offer somebody, right? Some kind words, you know, some gentleness. Because we can see that they're in a place where they cannot offer that themselves, to themselves or to anyone around them. It's sometimes the hardest people to love with softness, right? Or the hardest moments to love somebody with softness when they are in that kind of edgy, rough, you know, angry, withdrawn, dark cloud over them kind of space, right? But it's there where people need it the most. So finding our way in, right? Simple things. We don't have to like change somebody's life, but we might change somebody's life by a kind word. We might change somebody's life by a warm embrace or a handshake or a hug or a smile. So whatever it is that comes in our path, we have the opportunity to fulfill this natural impulse, this perhaps even longing in us. And on this Mother's Day, I want to really encourage us to remember to allow ourselves to be mothered as well as to mother. To really take up the mantle of what it means to be the divine mother in the world, to be her hands and feet and heart and eyes, and to allow ourselves to really be that, but also to take the time to be rocked and cradled and sung to, or whatever it is that we need, empowered in some way. The Divine Mother is always here, throwing that veil of protection upon us and allowing us to maybe be even pulled into her lap for love and that kind of embrace that refills us. So let's let ourselves be spiritually fed. Let's let ourselves be nurtured. Let's give over to that so that we can then be sent back out into the world to do this beautiful work of loving each other, of healing our world. Let's rest in the lap of the Divine Mother and carry her gifts into the world. I invite you to say that with me. Together? I rest in the lap of the Divine Mother and carry her gifts into the world. So it is.